We are going live tonight. So excited to be here. It's Dr. K, and we're going live with my colleague all the way from India. So excited to speak to Dr. Rashmi Shetty, and she's going to be joining us soon. And I'm in the peace and quiet of my bedroom because I definitely don't want any children, dogs, and other people interrupting. So we will talk about so many great things tonight, and I hope you guys have a long list of questions. Dr. Shetty is such a great expert with so many different things. Let me just check if she sent her request. Dr. Rashmi Shetty, I don't see her in there yet. So send a request to join Dr. Shetty, and then I'll let you right in. But I'm interested to chat about Bollywood trends, hyperpigmentation. They don't have Sculptra in India, so I know we're going to talk a lot about Sculptra. Hello from Tennessee. Hey from Mexico. And let's see, here's another request to join Dr. Shetty. So they don't have Sculptra and collagen biostimulators in India, so it's going to be very exciting to chat with them about that. I'm about to go to Monaco to lecture at the AMWC Anti-Aging World Congress. And there's Dr. Shetty. How are you?
Hi, Kay. What a pleasure. How are you?
So good. This is so exciting to chat all the way across the world from India.
I know, thanks to technology.
Amazing. So I want to introduce Dr. Shetty for those of you guys who don't know what a special treat this is. Dr. Rashmi Shetty is a specialist dermatologist. She's an international speaker and teacher and author with 20 years of experience in aesthetics and clinical derm. And she's the founder of RA Skin and Aesthetics in Mumbai and Reva Skin in Hyderabad. And tell us a little bit about what's going on in India. Is COVID better?
COVID is a lot better. I think it's almost on its way out. I don't know whether to talk about the entire global scenario or the extremely fantastic immune system we Indians have. We're at least for now looks pretty safe, looks pretty easy on us, thank God. And then I want to introduce to the audience who don't know Dr. K yet, she's a facial plastic surgeon with a fantastic practice in LA. And you must watch the video she puts out. The transformations of before and after is fantastic. And she also has a line of products that I want you all to check out, which I totally love. And I've been looking at it for a while now. That's something you should check. And all of those people who are following me from the US, Indians, who keep asking me for a doctor who understands Indian skin, Asian skin, here's Dr. K.
Oh my gosh, I love that you brought that up because I think that East Asian, Indian skin, Asian skin in general has very different concerns than a lot of other fair skin types. Like we get pigmentation so easily. It's my lifetime battle to deal with hyperpigmentation. And I think so many times laser companies, microneedling companies are coming at us telling us that all these lasers are great for all skin types and they truly are not. They truly are not. I myself try every laser and then 8 to 10 weeks later, I get the pigmentation. So what are your tricks when you deal with melasma and hyperpigmentation for patients?
So for me, the first thing I always tell patients with melasma and hyperpigmentation, because these are patients who've already done the rounds. They've gone to different doctors, either come back worse than where they started or come back to me with a lot of disappointment and hope that I will do some magic. So for those people in general, I want to say, and I'm sure Dr. K will agree, that there's no magic that can happen with pigmentation. So one, we can maybe just about reduce the color or the intensity of the pigmentation, increase the hydration of your skin, increase the collagen, elastin, and the well-being of the skin itself, which then looks more healthier and even toned. So that's something we can do. And I'm not going to go all guns blazing. We're going to start off with some prep creams. Then we start off with some mild peels. Then maybe start off with lasers at very, very low fluences. So this is my take on that. Of course, we do the oral supplements and certain home care. What's your take on pigmentation and what's new there?
I think nothing is really truly new. I think that using topicals, the anti-tyrosinase inhibitors, a licorice extract. There's like 5 or 6 really great natural ingredients that suppress pigmentation. So vitamin C, the licorice extract, Tyrosinase inhibitors, a little bit of use of transuxamic acid recently, and I'm still a huge believer in hydroquinone. So, although it's becoming more difficult to access and source, I like hydroquinone products. They're super effective. It's very rare to get onchocerciasis that people worry about. And I recommend fully that you go on intermittent bouts of hydroquinone throughout the year when you're really flared. So I think it's like a chronic disease. It's like diabetes. You have to learn to manage it. You're going to have flare-ups and suppressions. But the worst possible thing you can do is, like you said, some super aggressive procedure to blast the melasma because it's just going to come right back. Don't you think? Yeah. Are you guys injecting transuxamic acid or using topical or oral transuxamic for pigmentation?
So I am quite happy with the oral tranexamic acids. I really love that. I also use the topical tranexamic acid. I love that. Injectable tranexamic, I tried them way, I think 10 or 12 years ago, and I had this doctor friend of mine from Bangkok. And they did the studies, controlled studies on tranexamic subdermal injections. And she said, Rashmi, there is no difference at all. And for me, in an Indian skin, to poke on an already pigmented skin, I'm also scared about the PIH. So I don't usually inject, but I'm happy to apply tranexamic and I'm happy to give them orally.
What's
What
your
about
oral,
you?
what kind of oral dosing would you use, milligrams and dosage?
So I use a 250 mg twice a day, works best for me. And I keep that going for around 6 months.
Yeah.
And after asking a few history of any clotting disorders, and then it really works well for me. I've seen that it works brilliantly. And I also support that probably with a few antioxidants. We have a range of supplements. So I do the Rab Right with it, which is an antioxidant concoction and an anti-inflammatory concoction like our ginger, curcumin, milk thistle, bepipirin. So I like this as a combination also to give them an anti-inflammatory. So that really works for me. What in your range of product would work brilliantly for pigmentation?
Well, we have bleaching pads, so that's a combination of high dose vitamin C with the hydroquinone and a ton of green tea. Like you said, antioxidants are very important, and green tea is anti-inflammatory. It's soothing. It takes away that vascular tendency a little bit of the skin. I also love resveratrol. That's super potent. And you have a supplement line, right? That's amazing.
Yes.
So I love that. So the glutathione is one of the best antioxidants that you can possibly take. Is that
True.
in your supplement line?
Yes. So we started off with the Bright, which did have one of the ingredients as glutathione. But
Yeah.
later we realized giving a precursor of a glutathione would also do better in terms of absorption. And sometimes because gastric absorption of glutathione is not really great. So we ended up adding on more things to the Rab Right, which has six antioxidants in total. So that makes it like a nice, good complex for you.
Well, I love that. Okay, some people are asking for home remedies for reducing pigmentation. Do you use like a turmeric yogurt mask or any like awesome Ayurvedic remedies? I'm a big
Maybe.
fan of like rituals. So once a week, I'm doing like a lovely coconut oil massage for the scalp. Love that. I have turmeric every morning with lemon water. What else do you do?
So I think the South Indian in us will never go. Coconut oil is our favorite no matter where we go.
Exactly, yes.
Yeah. So yes, coconut oil again for my hair and for my skin. That's one of my favorites. What I do sometimes apply and recommend, I usually don't have the time and the bandwidth to be honest. And I think we dermatologists are spoiled with so many creams that are at our, disposal that I end up using more packaged creams. But if one wants a home remedy, then I think a honey with the turmeric as a mask would work really well because it'll just about hydrate. It's a good antioxidant, and turmeric is known as an anti-inflammatory and a skin lightener. Though a lot of people recommend lemon to put on the skin, I would stay away from it because it can burn if the skin is sensitive. And most people with pigmentation would have already started, some skin lightening creams or sometimes retin-A's, which already make the skin sensitive. You don't want to put a lemon on it, which is acidic, and then make it more sensitive and inflamed. So I stay away from that, but simply a gentle honey with a little bit of a turmeric powder, I think. And my favorite for everything on the skin is sandalwood paste or
Oh,
sandalwood powder.
really? Oh my gosh. Tell me about that because I've never used sandalwood on any skin.
Oh my God, that's fabulous. Whether it is pigmentation, whether it is acne, whether it is sensitive skin, whether it is oily skin, sandalwood is the magic. We literally grew up on that. Mom used to get this fresh sandalwood, the wood piece, and they used to kind of make the paste at home on a rough stone. And
Wow.
then you use that paste to apply. You could use a medium of milk, you can use a medium of tender coconut water, or you can use a medium of honey, anything that you want while you're doing that stone thing. And then you just use that, and it is magic. Trust me.
Oh my gosh, I don't know where to find sandalwood plant in the United States, but I'm gonna look for sure. I grow some things in the garden. We have a tulsi plant, so every day I have tulsi, which is like holy basil if you're in the United States. So good for you. It's got a lot of benefits as an adaptogen. And definitely turmeric, which you put on as a mask. And then when I was little, my mom would always cut lemons and like make me put them on my elbows because my elbows will be like, so pigmented on my elbows and knees. I have to put lemon. That's like another Indian fun remedy.
Yeah,
But,
I think moms knew it then that a little bit of exfoliation is required. So the acid in the lemon would exfoliate a little, soften that skin, and
yeah.
also act as a lightener. Like you said, tulsi is such a beautiful adaptogen and beautiful for immunity. So in our supplement called Raad Defense, we have one of the main ingredients as tulsi.
Nice, that's wonderful. And you're selling that through your office?
Office as well as on the website. So we have the Soul Skin Corp, which has all our supplements on it.
Love it.
And
And I
we
thought
kind of
one thing you said about the retin-A was very true because we are such big advocates of using retin-A. Everyone over age 30 should be on retin-A every night at bedtime. But and yet, if you're someone who has pigmentation, very often that really inflames the skin and worsens pigmentation, I find. I've started
What's
some of
your
my.
favorite anti? Sorry.
No worries. I was going to say some of my inflammatory ladies who are more red and flushed, who tend to get any amount of heat causing pigmentation, I will put them on our stem cell growth factor instead of retinol, because not everybody can handle retinols.
Exactly. That exactly was my question. What is your favorite anti-aging ingredient or application if someone can't do retinol? Because thanks to all the bloggers and the information on the internet, everybody thinks retinol is something that they can pick up and use, but it's very different. So I just wanted to ask you, what in your range of products or in your range of practice do you use as anti-aging applications?
Yeah, I mean, definitely you can do microneedling, of course, with platelet-rich plasma. And I think that's a great treatment for every skin type, including Asian and Indian skin. And I think of course, you're doing Botox and fillers, collagen stimulators, like the regenerative biostimulators like Hyperdilute Radius and Sculptra or PLLA. Those are super important to maintain. Like, if you can't, develop more collagenization from retinols, there's so many other things we can do.
Yeah, fantastic. So Sculptra is something that our country still doesn't have. We only have an HA filler. So we've been seeing a lot of American doctors post, including you, about fillers on the butt. And I've been asked so many times from my patients, and I'm like, no, we still don't have anything to do it. So for the
Oh, really?
ones who want to talk to you and know a little more, please explain to us.
Well, Sculptra, even in the United States, is not FDA approved for the butt. It's FDA approved for the face and recently has some new FDA indications. Like we used to be, we had to mix Sculptra a few days ahead of time. We had to use special dilution techniques. Now we're able to mix it and use it immediately. And we're diluting it with about 7 cc's of sterile water, adding lidocaine as well. And it's safe to inject right away for faces. It's one of the best treatments for growing new collagen. So I
Wow.
like my patients who've been doing the hyaluronic gel fillers to start breaking up the filler effect with collagen stimulation. Like, there is only so much gel you can put in your face before you start looking puffy, doughy, and a little bit filler face. So I think it's so important that we start growing foundation, especially in the 30s and 40s and beyond, in these areas that have large volume loss, like the preauricular area, the pregel, and the temple. And so for the face, it's a beautiful treatment because it lifts the face, these three vectors of support that you need to have, like almost a liquid lift. And patients look really, really natural. And I also love that it drives a lot of macrophages into the skin. It's a foreign molecule, but a very safe one. It's the same ingredient that sutures are made of, and absorbable sutures are used in millions of people for surgery, so you don't have anything to fear. But the fact that it's foreign drives these macrophages into the skin, gives you like the Sculptra glow. It's incredible. And it gobbles up all this filler breakdown product of years of hyaluronic gel that we put in our faces. So it's kind of my macrophage scavenging theory that the more we add these collagen stimulators, the more we rid the face of breakdown products of old gel. Because gels look great when we first put them in. We control them, they're very cohesive, they're beautiful. But the more they break down, the more we get this puffy, weird swelling in the face. And I'm sure that you see it in even the best injectors doing the best work. Like, we can't control how the fillers break down. So I'm a big fan of starting to use more collagen stimulators and turn on the body's ability to regenerate. So it's a beautiful product for the face, and it's great for the butt. Like, for patients who want kind of a Victoria's Secret perky, taut, firm tone butt. It's your same butt. You fit in the same jeans. They just fit much better. Like, we round them out. And we do about three to four sessions. It's usually about 8 to 10 vials of Sculptra per session. So it's not cheap. It's an investment, but it's a long-term benefit because your Sculptra lasts 2 years. The collagen that you grow is now your permanent collagen. It's going to last 5 years and beyond. Like, how long does collagen last? It lasts till the sun breaks it down, really, till your body breaks it down. So it's a really nice, it doesn't give like a cottage cheese, BBL butt appearance. Lots of people get the BBL with the fat transfer. Not only is that dangerous in terms of, like, there's percentage of people who die from pulmonary embolism from that surgery, but that's one problem. Number two, you can't sleep on your butt. You can't sit on your butt for 6 weeks. That's very inconvenient. You can't exercise, and you have to gain all this weight and then transfer the fat. So, for so many reasons, a BBL may not be right for everyone, but Sculptra really is a nice way to just augment what you have.
Would you use that under the eye?
No, we don't recommend Sculptra for areas that are rounded contracting muscles because it can conglomerate and create lumps and nodules. So it wouldn't be recommended around the mouth or around the eyes. You can use it to support the mid-face cheek area, and that gently helps elevate the eye position nicely. So it's such a good product. I hope you guys will get it soon. I'm shocked that they don't have it there. Like, it's such a huge market.
We don't.
Yeah, I'm using it also for crepiness and textural change in terms of like neck texture, the décolleté, like the chest lines. And it's even good for the changes that we see. Like, we're getting to live longer as women. We're going to live to be 85 and 90. So, like, when you're 60 and your arms look a little crepey, it's not that fun. So, we're using that for crepey arms and crepey thighs, all these where your skin changes.
So someone's asking any treatment for keloid. Of course, we end up injecting fats into the keloid so that, sorry, we end up injecting things that breaks down the keloid, whether it is a little bit of a steroid or it is a hyalase that breaks the pigment down from the keloid.
Yes, definitely. And then another person was asking about glutathione again. Any dosage recommendation for glutathione?
I think you could take anywhere between 1,000 to almost 3,000 mg a day. because it's not that all that will get absorbed. So yes, you can. What about microneedling with glutathione? There are no studies that it will work, but microneedling itself will work. What do you think, Dr. K?
I think I haven't seen glutathione used in microneedling. Like, you really don't have to add much when you microneedle. Just the act of puncturing the skin is going to create an injury that will repair. I've had some colleagues who use Sculptra on top of microneedled skin to permeate. I'm a little cautious to do that because I think that can create inflammatory granulation, and I would probably wouldn't do that. But I love platelet-rich plasma. That's your body's source of beautiful stem cell factors. So I think that is the best. Someone asked about acne that's not responding to various acne regimens. I would consider hormonal acne. And if it's not hormonal, then maybe consider the yeast type of Candida acne. Maybe can you talk a little about that? That's popular. Some people don't even know about fungal acne.
So when you, if you have dandruff, and then if you have slightly itchy face, and if you think all your acne is looking like they're identical copies of each other, that could be fungal acne. Sometimes it's also combined with acne on your back, on your shoulder, on your chest. This could be fungal acne. Then your doctor will give you an antifungal medicine instead of an antibacterial in the beginning for a few days. Again, I think the person who's asked the question is asking you that she's tried different skincare regimes. Now, I don't know if those regimes were doctor prescribed or not. So please don't take acne as a very easy thing. This is something really complex for a doctor to diagnose with various blood tests at sometimes, looking at you, looking at your scalp, looking at your body, neck, various factors that we think of when we look and diagnose and plan a treatment for acne. So that cannot be done with just regimes over an internet. So you must reach out to a doctor and then firstly diagnose the cause of the acne. Then it's of course treatable. I mean, I'm sure Dr. K does it too. We guarantee in our center any acne, however bad, 3 months and we will solve it. So that's why you need this.
You need to get help and you need to commit for a few months because people want an instant result and you don't develop this problem instantly. It took you several years to get to where you are. So mostly we can fix all acne. We really can. If you're really regular about it, we can help you. Someone says you're a goddess. Thank you. Dr. Shetty is a goddess. I love that. Can you use filler or Botox to reduce your nostril size? So there is a dilator muscle that flares the nostril, and I do Botox dosing around the nasal dilator and also the depressor septi muscles to lift the tip, and of course for bunny lines. So yeah, there's lots of places, and I'm using Botox all across the nose, like a microneedle technique, nose tox to shrink the pore size a little bit. Is there anything you're doing for pore size
So
reduction?
yes, we do the same thing which you said. One is if you want an instant pore size reduction, micro Botoxing, diluted Botox. But I would do more on the cheek and on the jawline for active acne as well. But this is news for me that you also use it on the nose, and I'm going to try that. But the dilator nostril muscles, yes, when you talk, if your nose dilates actively, that's when that really helps in shrinking the nostril, not otherwise. So that's something that we end up doing as well. Someone's asking us home remedy for acne. What's your take on that, Dr. K?
I mean, over the counter, you certainly some of the things you can buy at the drugstore are helpful, like the benzoyl peroxide basic washes. I think starting with that is very reasonable. And a little bit of gentle exfoliation once a week, very reasonable. Changing your diet, like getting rid of sugars and chocolates and androgenic peanut things, like that's going to all be helpful. I don't really have like a home remedy to dab on other than anti-inflammatories. So I don't know that I would suggest anything home-based.
Do you have anything from your range of products that they could just pick up and start using before they reach out
Oh,
to you?
yes. I have a really amazing 4-step acne kit. It's like so popular on TikTok. 1 month, it clears you right up, and it has a wash, it has a spot treatment gel, it has acne pads. It's quite wonderful for like $50. It's a really great starter kit. I just feel bad to see any teenager with bad acne because it scars you on an emotional level and it scars you physically and it's so preventable. So I just wanted to make an affordable 4-step acne kit. It's really good and stronger than Proactiv and anything you can buy and other, you'll see a big difference. But,
I think for me, what you can do at home is first make sure your scalp is clean, wash it alternate days, have a good face wash that you wash your face at least 3 times a day. I see a lot of teenagers not even being able to do that. So you need to do that. Two, like Dr. K rightly said, look for either a salicylic acid, a benzoyl peroxide, if your skin is very oily and you have acne as a face wash. And then you can try up a simple, maybe a benzoyl peroxide application for an hour in the evening. So these are a few things you can do at home. Please don't self-medicate with, especially in India, because a lot of it is available over the counter. No antibiotics, no antibiotic creams. Please don't start isotroying on your own. Please do not do all this. And make sure you go to your doctor. Like Dr. K says, the scars can really scar you even emotionally. And though we doctors have the best gadgets on earth today, it's not possible to completely erase and make your skin flawless. So it's easy to treat acne.
And realize that you're gonna have a bout of acne as a teen. It's you don't have to have flawless, perfect skin, but don't panic and definitely like there's lots of things we can do to minimize scarring after the fact too. So don't give up if you've got scarring, like come see us for that too. That's so important. I see
The
a
last
couple
one,
questions.
which one is your favorite? Dr. K, which one is yours?
For what? For lips or
Melasma. Please for melasma.
my favorite for melasma. I'm still a big believer in hydroquinone. I think that that's truly like the easiest for patients to use for 8 to 12 weeks, once a day application. I like a combination cream that has a little bit of retinol, kind of like a Triluma, which has retinol with a little steroid with a little hydroquinone. That's like the gold standard to me.
How about Profhilo? Profhilo is nice. It's a biostimulator, it's a hydrant, but it's still a hyaluronic acid jelly. So, yeah, I mean, I like it, but don't overdo it. What's your take on it, Dr. K?
Oh my gosh, we don't have it in the United States. I wish we
Oh,
did.
okay.
Everyone talks about the skin boosters, and we have had to make our own version of that with hyperdiluting Bellotero and some of the thin fillers. So I do that hyperdiluted and microneedled into the skin surface as a skin booster, and I like it. It gives a very glassy look. I usually will mix that with high dose antioxidant, vitamin C, PRP, and Botox. So it's like a whole cocktail that goes on. And it's just flawless. Like you look flawless for about 8 weeks. It's nice. Yeah. So that's a super fun one. Someone else is asking about injectables for noses. I do a lot of that. Are you guys, is liquid rhinoplasty popular in India right now?
It is. But we just have HA as a tool. So we don't have a Sculptra or any other tool at hand. It's just HA and we quite love it. And but I'm pretty, I'd say cautious about it. So I don't take up every patient who comes in. So I'm pretty cautious. And we do a little bit of a tip raise, we do a little bit of straightening of the dorsum. So all of those little things we do. I go sometimes down to the columella to lift it, if not on the tip. So these little things. What I end up doing.
Yeah, that's perfect. I think you have to be so cautious. Everybody's very excited to do these dramatic transformation procedures, but there's a risk of blindness. There's definitely a risk of skin necrosis. So I teach how to do liquid rhinos, and I do a really cute technique. I call it my Tinkerbell tip lift, and patients love it. But every single time I do it, I'm like holding my breath and really focused and trying to be very cautious.
Yeah, likewise. So someone's asking here, how do you reach out to people from other cities? We have an online consultation, and I'm sure Dr. K, how do you reach out to people on the other in the other cities?
Yeah, we do FaceTime consults and WhatsApp and email and everything. So it's been
Likewise.
the best part of the pandemic has been this new ability to have access to people, like talking to you across the world and meeting patients from all over the place, actually.
Interesting, very interesting. So, Dr. K, where exactly are you having your practice? Is it just one, or do you have multiple practices? Would you like to just say that too?
Yeah, I'm in Los Angeles. We're right by the Rose Bowl in Pasadena. And I also have an office in Beverly Hills. It's on Rodeo, so right there by Cartier. But I'm pretty much busy in Pasadena a lot. So I love Los Angeles. It's I want to come visit you in India too. Where are you located?
Be my guest. I'm located in Bombay. That's my primary home. I also have a clinic in Hyderabad, which is down south, which I travel almost every month. So yeah, please come to Bombay. I'm originally a Mangalorean, born and brought up in Karnataka, which is Bangalore. So to me, I'm Indian.
Well, I was born in East Africa, in Kenya, and then grew up in all across the United States, but mainly in Santa Monica and Malibu. And only been to India twice. I'm Punjabi, but and I've been to India
Oh,
once when
South
we got
Indian.
married and once when we took the kids. Yeah, I'm Punjabi, but I married a South Indian guy. So
Yeah.
that's where my last name comes from. And he's from Madras.
Yes, that's clear from the last name.
So, but I'm such a big fan of you, and I think it's great to be able to talk and so much. You guys, I would love to come and do a conference in India sometime.
Yes, I will make sure when we have it next. Are you coming to the AMWC?
Yes, I'm going to be there.
Great. I'm going to be there too. I think we should catch up there and have a meal together.
Yeah,
Can't
definitely.
wait to see you.
Well, thank you so much for inviting me on this live, and thanks for joining us. Modern Aesthetic Theory and Artistry is my online course where we teach injectors around the world, and I'm so glad to introduce you on this platform. I hope lots of people go follow and check out your page and all your great products.
Likewise, people should check up her products, Dr. K's products, and her page. And any questions after this live that you have, please don't hesitate writing on the comments to both of us. We will try and answer as many as possible. Thank you so much. And Dr. Kate and your team, thank you for handling all this. And it was a pleasure.
Oh my gosh, my pleasure too. Bye, Dr. Rashmi. Love you, and I'll see you in Monaco.
Wait, thanks. Bye.
Everybody for tuning in, and don't forget to follow our other page. It's Modern Aesthetic Theory and Artistry. Send me all your questions. And if you're an injector, we have a free Instagram tribe. Send us a message and tell us your credentials, and we want to see a picture of your diploma, and then we'll let you join the Instagram tribe chat. It's for injectors around the world to ask their open questions and, like, just how do you do things in your practice? How do you dilute things? How do you mix things? Ask anything you want. That's it for now, guys. Stay beautiful.